In preparing for the messages for next Sunday, I couldn't help but think in terms of Romans chapter 1. Those that have turned their back, these are the ungodly, these are the unsaved, they've turned their back on God. And one of the things that is mentioned, which obviously shows how dangerous the wrong attitude is, they were not thankful. And quite frankly, if we are not thankful for just the things that we're thankful for in church and for each other, for husbands and wives, we lose something very special. More than that, if we are not thankful to God and for His goodness, even as believers, we can really be in dangerous, dangerous territory. And we have a history of that which happened as far as the children of Israel concerned, and it's recorded for us in Psalm 78. So if you turn that, we're just going to hit some highlights and try to wrap it all up and bring it together, because this has a lesson for us today, and we need to always be able to be thankful. I'd heard about a rancher I believe it was in South Dakota. He was always thankful for everything. He always wanted to praise the Lord and thank the Lord. And I've tried to do that as well. In fact, the Lord has blessed me because when I do my walking, many times people will look at me and, you know, it's kind of strange if you see somebody that has a smile on their face. And so when I'm walking, I have a smile on my face. And if you have that smile on your face, sometimes I think they think, is that for me? Good. Thank you for that. They want to know what it's all about. So there's a area around what's called Lake Ty there in Monroe, and it's 2 miles, and I walk around it. And so as I was coming around here probably about 2 years ago, I met this gentleman, and we kind of just smiled at each other, and he said, "Hi, how are you today?" And I said, "Well, I'm praising the Lord." And I got about 4 steps beyond him, and he said, "Hey, what did you say?" And I said, "I'm praising the Lord." And we developed a real friendship. He happened to be a retired dairy farmer. And of course, we had some things in common just because of our background and things like that. And we developed a really close relationship and friendship. And I've found that by praising the Lord and having the right attitude, and as believers, we need to have that attitude. We need to have the right attitude. I have found that when you go through Walmart, Fred Meyer, and places like that, they're supposed to ask you, "How are you today?" And so I'll say, "Well, I'm praising the Lord." I receive a lot of comments, and I've had a young lady, she looked at me and she said, "Would you pray for me right now? I'm really going through it." God just gave me a wonderful opportunity because, you know, we have a thankful attitude. It's really good. At Walmart here a while back, I don't see the guy there anymore. He's probably been appointed to some big management position or something like that. But anyway, I came through and he said, "And how are you today?" And I said, "Well, I'm praising the Lord." And he looked at me and he said, maybe I'm just sensitive about that. I think he said, "You know, we need old men like you." I don't know that I like the way you laughed about that. but he's right, isn't he? You know, if old men are grumpy, in fact, I will tell people sometimes when I go through, they look at me like, "What did he just say?" And I'll say, "You know, you would rather have me praising the Lord than being a grouch, wouldn't you?" And I've had a couple of ladies say, "Oh, yeah." You know, so it's all right to be praising the Lord. And the children of Israel, even though they were God's people, they were not praising the Lord the way they should. And they were not thankful. And somehow, when we get to that place where we're not thankful, first of all, if we're thankful, we have to have somebody that we're thankful to. Amen? Here in Kent, probably 20 years ago, I was downtown and I was talking to somebody. It was on Thanksgiving Day. And I said, praise the Lord, I'm thankful. And the one guy said, "Well, I don't know who to be thankful to." He was not a believer. He was not a Christian. He was an atheist. That's a pretty bad situation to not know who to be thankful to. And so I was able to just briefly let him know that I have someone that I can be thankful to. So I had that privilege of doing that, and it has really benefited me. So maybe I can just show you and just remind you that it's really incumbent upon us to have an attitude that's a good attitude, a thankful attitude. Let people know that we're thankful for our wives. Let people know that we're thankful for our parents. Let people know that we're thankful for our children. You know, it's been a wonderful thing to have children till they get to be about 8, 10, something like that. They love you. Is Brother Aaron here? Yeah, Brother Arden here? Brother Arden and I have this problem. We have a common granddaughter that's just a wonderful girl, Leah. And I'm not kidding you. One night, she was visiting, and she came in and she says, "Grandpa Neiman, I love you. You are the best grandpa in the whole world." And I was just hoping everybody was taking it in. And all of a sudden, she turned around and Arden walked in the door. And she told him exactly the same thing. Remember that, Arden? I'm not going to let you forget that. Anyway. But, you know, Leah really is that way, isn't she? I mean, that's just the way she is. And wow, how great to have, just have her around. It's great. So, I'm saying all of this is that I'm trying to contextualize this. I need to make that decision that I am going to be thankful. Amen? We need to make that decision. And there are so many things for which we can be thankful. And it's not bragging or anything like that because we're thankful to God. But in Psalm 78, there are some things that are very interesting here. One of the things that does arrest my attention very early in Psalm 78 is something that I think I've got it right. But it tells us in Psalm 78 in verse 4, it says, "We will not hide them from their children, showing to generation to come the praises of the Lord and his strength and his wonderful works that he hath done. For establish a testimony." Now, this is what God has done. This is a declaration. God has done it. And it's good for us to just reflect upon what God has done, isn't it? And so he said, this is what he's going over. But I want to pick up down to in verse 7. It says, "That they might set their hope in God and not forget the works of God, but keep his commandments, and might not be as their fathers, a stubborn and rebellious generation, who that set not their heart aright and whose spirit was not steadfast with God." Uh-oh, we've got a problem, don't we? The real problem is a problem of the heart. Amen? It's a real problem there. And then notice what it says in verse 9. "And the children of Ephraim, being armed and carrying bows, turn back in the day of battle." That's a scary thing. Listen. I am so thankful for men in the ministry that I knew were going to stand for that which is right. Even if it meant going into battle, they were going to stand for that which is right. They didn't turn back in the day of battle. What a wonderful thing. And I know Pastor feels this way, and I know that those that are leaders in the church feel this way. Thank God for people who are willing to stand for what's right in the day of battle. Amen? It's so important. I've seen the others. So we do know that there is a problem, and it can be very, very serious, and it really develops in huge ways. Verse 10, "They kept not the commandment of God," or the covenant of God. That's a problem. You're not going to be thankful if you're not keeping the covenant of God. And notice what else? "And refused to walk in his law." Verse 11, "And forgot his works." Listen, God does not owe Tom Neiman anything. I mean, apart from my salvation, that does it all. Amen? Anything that I have beyond my salvation is a gracious gift of God, a work of God, and I need to be so thankful. So, being able to fellowship with friends like you, that's a gift of God. having to have a local church, that's a gift of God. Being able to serve the Lord is a gift of God. We need to always keep in mind that it is a gift of God. Now, the opposite of that gets to be pretty scary. For we notice it says he forgot his works. We're not going to have time to go through all of this, but I do notice this. Notice in verse 16, he said, he brought streams also out of the rock and caused water to run down like rivers, and they sin yet more against him by what? What's that next word? Provoking. You know, it's a terrible thing. It's a terrible thing to be guilty of provoking God. It's terrible to be provoking others. There are some people that have the gift of provocation. Did you know that? Sorry. I'm not going to name any names. If you're guilty, you know what? But they sinned yet more against him by provoking the Most High God. And notice what else is happening here. In verse 18, and they tempted God in their heart by asking meat for their lust. They never are satisfied. They're not thankful. They're never satisfied. God, you ought to be doing more for me. Were their needs being met in the wilderness? They were being met in the wilderness. It probably was very healthy food, right? But they were asking for meat. And God became very angry with them. So they tempted God in the heart by asking meat for their lust. Yea, they spake against God. You get the indication of what's going on here. How can I possibly get to the place where I start speaking against God, start blaming God, saying, God, it's not fair that I don't have meat to eat. Are we ever like that? Are we ever tempted to that? It's a terrible thing to not be thankful, isn't it? It's a terrible thing to be provocative as far as God is concerned. Again, we're moving through this very rapidly, but notice in verse 21, therefore the Lord heard this and was wroth. So a fire was kindled against Jacob, and anger also came up against Israel. Now, what happens is that they got what they want, but they didn't like what they got after they got it, because God had to judge them. God could not give them his blessing. There's a whole section of scripture here that just elucidates even more on that which we're talking about. But drop down to verse 30. God had provided for them. He'd given the answer to them and what they said they wanted. But notice in verse 30, it said, they were not estranged from their lust, but while their meat was yet in their mouth, the wrath of God came upon them and slew the fattest of them and smote down the chosen men of Israel. Verse 32, for all this they sinned still and believed not for his wondrous works. What's going on here? What's happening here? They had really lost their vision of who their God was. Because we see in verse 35, and they remembered that God was their rock and the high God their redeemer. When he had to discipline them. But notice in verse 36, nevertheless, they did flatter him with their mouth. They could sing the songs, they could quote the scriptures, they could say the things that need to be said, they could say with their mouth the things that they were expected to say, but their heart was not right with God. Notice what it says, nevertheless, they did flatter him with their mouth, they lied unto their tongues. Verse 37, for their heart was not right with him. And folks, I have to be so careful that I'm always thankful that my heart is right with God. My heart must be right with God. Their heart was not right with him, neither were they steadfast in his covenant. Now this really gets serious. There's no problem as far as God is concerned. The problem is them. Notice verse 38, but he, being full of compassion, forgave their iniquity and destroyed them not. Yea, many a time turns he his anger away and did not stir up all his wrath. For he remembered that they were but flesh, a wind that passeth away and cometh not again. Verse 40, how oft did they provoke him in the wilderness? And that brings conviction to my heart. How many times do I Do I just fail the Lord? How many times do I provoke the Lord? I have to be so careful about that. I need to, and thankfulness is the antidote to that. How often did they provoke him in the wilderness and grieve him in the desert? That really speaks to my heart. Oh God, help me not to grieve God. I wouldn't want to deliberately grieve my wife. I was very conscious as a child growing up that I did not grieve my parents. I was conscious of that. I don't think I was an unusual child. That's just the way we were trained. And to this day, it's a joy to me to realize that my mom and my dad said some very kind things to me before they passed away. And that by the grace of God, they were not grieved with the way that I conducted myself. How often did they provoke him in the wilderness and grieve him in the desert? Yea, turned they back and tempted, and wow, get a hold of this. When we do not have that thankful heart, when we have that provocative attitude, we limit God. God cannot do for us, God cannot do through us what he could do if we did not have that particular attitude. Oh God, help me not to provoke thee. Well, verse 41, yea, they turned back and tempted God and limited the Holy One of Israel. Verse 42, and they remembered not his hand nor the day when he delivered them from the enemy. Sometimes we need to just sit back and think, Lord, I need to remember. I need to remember what you saved me from. Now, some of you were saved later on in life, and I know the things that some of you have gone through, and I'm so thankful that God has brought you through those. But I am so thankful that, you know, when I go through these medical checkoffs, every time I have to go through it and through it. And I just think, can't you just check the last one I did? Okay, did you smoke? No. Did you use alcoholic beverages? No. Were you involved in drug abuse? No. Sometimes they look at me like, what have you done that's fun in life? I mean, that seems to be almost the attitude they have. I've had a great life. I haven't given up anything. I went to the University of Wisconsin, and Friday night in those dorms at the University of Wisconsin was the night when the guys got drunk. If they didn't do it on Friday night, they did it on Saturday night. So then they had a terrible headache on Sunday morning. We didn't have the restrooms in our individual rooms at that time. We had restrooms and a shower and everything at different places along the hall as far as these dorms were concerned. So that's what we had to do. We had to go down to the restroom if we had to go to the room in the middle of the night, to the restroom in the middle of the night. And but there were times when, because I didn't drink, there would be guys who didn't drink alcohol, they would say, would you be sure and cover for me, because I don't want them to find me out in the hall drunk. By the way, the next day, they would be bragging about what they did the night before. I never had the headache Sunday morning. You tell me who came out better in that deal. I mean, there were times when you came into that restroom, and some of these guys, all that they had been drinking the night before, they had their head in the commode, and they were losing what they'd been drinking. And then the next day, they get up, and they try to tell you what a great time they had. Folks, I don't need that kind of a good time. Right? I didn't need that. And I don't feel superior when I say that. I thank God. I think I had very good training as far as my parents were concerned. I had good church people behind me. I had a lot of people praying for me and things like that. But I didn't give up anything. And I want you to know, I'm thankful to God for what he saved me from. Well, they turned back. They limited God. They remembered not his hand. Well, we could spend a lot of time on that. But let's go over to verse 56, because here is a routine where they do it again and again and again. It said, yet they tempted and provoked the Most High God. By the way, how many times have you noticed that word provoking occurring in this 78th Psalm? It occurs again and again and again. Oh, dear God, help me not to provoke you. Help me not to provoke God. Help me not to grieve God. That's a good prayer, good prayer request, isn't it? Yet they tempted and provoked the Most High God and kept not his testimony, but turned back and dealt unfaithfully like their fathers. They turned aside like a deceitful bull, for they provoked him with anger with their high places and moved him to jealousy with their graven images. Over and over and over again. By the way, one of the things I've observed as a result of living many years, and that is that if people get into this particular practice, they may even say, I'm never going to do this again. But the recidivism rate is very high. They just do it again and again and again. I like to tell young people before they ever get involved in any of that kind of behavior, don't do it in the first place. Then you don't have to break it afterwards. Could I just take a couple of moments to give you some encouragement? Would you agree with me that man is prone to provoking God? Would you agree with me that man can fail very easily? Would you agree with me that that does happen? It does. It does. But I want to tell you something in wonderful contrast, and that is that no matter how badly we fail, we have a God who is always constant. And for that, we can thank God. Notice the last couple of verses of this 78th Psalm. I'll just pick it up. Verse 70, it says, he chose David also his servant and took him from the sheepfolds. I imagine that one of the most surprised people in the world that he became king of Israel was David. He was the guy that followed the sheep. He was the one that helped the sheep, the ewes, give birth to the lambs. He would have been one of the last people that you would have thought of as being able to do what he did later on. Some of you know that I was born and raised in Iowa, and I lived on a farm. And every once in a while, I have the privilege of going back to Horton Baptist Church, a little town in northern Iowa. It is so small, they don't even have a stop sign in that town. You whiz through that town. But the Lord has just kept that church going. In fact, they now are at the place where they have so many people attending that little country church that they have to have an assistant pastor. Just things, God has just really been blessing them. But they've had some faithful people. That church had people that were so faithful, and they did not provoke God. They kept on being a testimony for God. And because they were a testimony for God, a man by the name of Gordon Shipp became president of a Baptist college and just influenced scores and scores of life for Jesus Christ. My dad and my mom were saved as a result of the ministry of that church because of people that did not provoke God. They did not know. Those people that in that giving that testimony did not know at that time that my dad would eventually sell the farm and become a home missionary himself and start churches in Iowa, Wisconsin, and Arkansas, and helped and two more churches in Iowa. They didn't know that was going to happen. But they had a group of people that did not provoke God. They were good testimonies the whole way through. Not only that, my sister was a missionary in Brazil along with her husband for 40 years out of that little town. And there were people that did not forget God. They did not provoke God. Listen, folks, it pays. Amen? It pays. I had no idea what God was going to do as far as my life was concerned. And by the grace of God, many of you know, you helped me. You prayed about it. Probably the first invitation that I had to minister in another country was in Brazil, and then in Peru, and then in Ghana, West Africa. And pastor was here when Brother DePaul was here, and And Brother DePaul and I were sharing what God did. And by the way, we had a team of young people. I mean, they were really on fire for God, and they prayed, and they worked, and they were such good helpers. And I just had an unusual sense of the power of God as I was preaching. And you remember, Pastor, when Brother DePaul, he still talks about that. I concluded my preaching, and there was a quiet hush, and all of a sudden, Dr. DePaul was beside me. He said, "Brother Neiman, I've never had this happen before. We've got more people that want to get saved than we have people to deal with them." You remember that? Him telling about that? And there is a church planted there. Listen, that little church in Northern Iowa, they didn't know what they were, that just by being faithful, God was going to do something so good. Listen, if we have the right attitude, it can have a worldwide impact for God. Isn't that a much better way? And then, as a result of God's grace, I've been able to teach and preach in the Philippines and in India. Preaching and teaching in India in the college there can be a problem because they know the Queen's or the King's English. We just have English English. But God can use us if we have the right attitude. What I want to do is bring it all together, and I want you to see. If we have the right attitude, and we are not going to be involved in provoking or limiting or grieving God, and we have a thankful heart. Notice, it says he chose David, verse 70, also his servant, and took him from the sheep folds. From following the ewes, great with young, he brought him to feed Jacob, his people, and Israel, his inheritance. So he fed them according to the integrity of, what is the pronoun there? Isn't that great? He fed them according to the integrity, not of their heart, he fed them according to the integrity of his heart. Aren't you glad that we have such a glorious and holy and righteous God? And he can take those of us who are so weak in ourselves, and he can feed them based on the integrity of his heart and guided them with the skillfulness of his hands. I have two words written at the end of that psalm. They are not inspired, but they sure are inspiring, okay? At the end of that psalm, I have in red letters written, "Praise God," with exclamation points. So as we kind of bring this day together and bring it to a close, could we have that attitude that we're praising God?